Here are the 10 most famous misconceptions about the Quran. They usually come from misunderstanding or assuming things that are not true about the Quran, learning it, or reciting it. Number 1. Forgetting the Quran is a sin. Some people don't want to start memorizing the Quran because they are afraid they might forget it one day, because they can't keep up, or just simply forgetting because of their memory. But the fact is that there is no authentic hadith or any proof that states that it is a sin to forget an ayah or a surah after having memorized it. So it is certainly not a sin and should never be a reason keeping you from starting to memorize the Quran. And it is just one of the tricks of shaitan. Number 2. Someone reciting the Quran with difficulty or while stuttering gets more reward than someone reciting it with ease. The reason for thinking this is misunderstanding the famous hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, stating that the one who is proficient in the recitation of the Quran will be with the honorable and obedient scribes, and he who recites the Quran and finds it difficult to recite will have two rewards. So the hadith mentions one reward for the proficient, but two for the one finding it difficult. And so was the misconception. But the fact is, the one reward you're getting after you have worked hard and became proficient in reciting the Quran is much bigger than when you are not yet proficient or reciting with ease. So the one who is still learning is getting a double reward, but the proficient one is getting a massive reward, inshallah. So keep learning and improving yourself till you reach proficiency, inshallah. Number 3. Makki and Madani surahs. Part of studying tafsir and properly understanding the Quran is knowing when and where each surah is revealed. And so, scholars divided the surahs of the Quran into Makki and Madani. Makki means belonging to Mecca, and Madani means belonging to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And this is where the misconception comes from. It is thought that Makki surahs are revealed in Mecca and Madani surahs are revealed in Medina, while in fact, this categorization does not refer to a place or location, but rather, it refers to a time period. So, Makki refers to surahs revealed before the Hijrah, so the Makki period. And Madani refers to surahs revealed after the Hijrah, regardless where exactly they were revealed. The most famous example is Surat Al-Fath, which is without a doubt a Madani surah. But in fact, when it was revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was actually closer to Mecca than Medina. And it is still considered a Madani surah, because it was revealed after the Hijrah. Number 4. Tanqis is prohibited. First, what is Tanqis? Tanqis means in reverse. And there are two types. One is the tanqis of ayat, which is reciting the ayat of a surah in reverse. So basically saying ayah number 4, and then you recite ayah number 3, and then number 2, and then number 1. This is not what I'm talking about here, because this is definitely haram without a question. But the second type is the tanqis of suwar. And this means that you recite, for example, Surat An-Nas, and then you recite Surat Al-Ikhlas, whether in prayer or outside prayer. There is nothing wrong with this. It is indeed not the best course of action, because it is better to keep the same order, but it is definitely not a sin. In fact, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, had once prayed using Surat Al-Baqarah, then Surat An-Nisa, then Surat Ali Imran, while their correct order, as we know in the Mus'haf, is Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, and then An-Nisa. So it is possible to recite a certain surah in prayer, and then in the next rak'ah, you recite an earlier surah, as long as you keep the ayat in their correct order. Number 5. Changing the qira'at in recitation is not allowed. The Quran was revealed in 7 ahruf, or modes of recitation. Some words are pronounced differently, have different tajweed, or they have different case endings. From these seven ahruf, we have the ten qira'at. So all of these ten qira'at are 100% Qur'an. So reciting one ayah using the riwayah of Hafs, for example, and then the ayah that follows in riwayat Warsh is not haram or a sin. It is all the word of Allah. So for example, I can recite Surat Al-Humazah entirely in riwayat Hafs, but the third ayah in riwayat Warsh, which means that instead of saying يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ, I will say يَحْسِبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ, because this is how the ayah was revealed. It was revealed as يَحْسَب and يَحْسِب. So it is not a problem to recite it like that, even if I started with a different riwayah. Having said that, it would be better to stick to the standardized qira'at as they are, especially when leading others in prayer, so as not to cause confusions or disturbance. If you also mix and match without any knowledge of grammar or meaning, you might make mistakes that change the meaning. For more elaborate explanation on that topic specifically, watch this lesson. Number 6. You must close the Mus'haf if you're not using it. Some people think if they are done reciting from the Mus'haf that they must close it, and that they cannot just leave it open, because if they did, Shaytan will come and read it. And if they see someone that left the Mus'haf open, they would then tell the responsible off. So it must remain closed at all times if you're not using it. This is of course not based on anything. So leaving the Mus'haf open is not a sin or a mistake. It is more of a logical thing to do to close the book if you're finished. But if you leave it open without causing damage or anything to it, then that is certainly not a problem, inshallah. Number 7. Making mistakes while learning is a sin. There are so many questions from people who are quite afraid of making mistakes while learning the Quran, simply because they're worried that they might recite in a way that changes or corrupts the meaning, which would then be a sin in their opinion. This is of course not true. You can never get a sin if you are learning the Quran. In fact, you are being rewarded for it, even if you make clear mistakes while learning, since you are still learning and you're trying to improve yourself. So you're basically working on it. So when is it then a bad thing if we make a mistake? Well, first, deliberately reciting the Quran incorrectly is definitely a sin. Also, reciting incorrectly while being able to learn and improve yourself, but just out of carelessness, and you still read incorrectly, is also a bad practice. But as long as you are trying your best and you are learning, you will be rewarded, inshallah. Number 8. Having wudu is a must to recite the Quran. Some people think that in order to recite the Quran, you must have wudu. But this is not true. Reciting the Quran without wudu is not haram, as long as you don't have the major impurity, of course. It would certainly be better if you have wudu, but that is not a must. However, if you want to touch the Mus'haf itself, so the book, the physical book itself, then you should have wudu. But what if you want to recite by reading, so not from memory, without having wudu? Is there a solution for that? Well, in that case, you may still read the Quran from your mobile phone or such device, since this kind of devices cannot be considered a Mus'haf. Number 9. Reciting the Quran using maqamat is haram. There is a misconception on what maqamat is, and some people even ask if they can recite the Quran without maqamat, but that is just simply not possible. Maqamat refers to the tune or the melody of your voice. So when you recite in your normal voice, it means you are using a certain type of maqamat. So this is something that you cannot avoid. But what you should be avoiding is learning the maqamat. When you learn the maqamat, it would necessarily mean that you learn music, musical notes and all that kind of stuff. What you should also be avoiding is if you're focusing more on the tune or the melody rather than focusing on applying tajweed rules and the meaning of the ayat that you are reading. So recite beautifully in your natural style while prioritizing the application of tajweed rules above the melody. If you want more information on this topic, then I highly recommend watching this lesson, which contains much more elaborate explanation as well as many examples of recitations. And finally, number 10. Holding or handling the mushaf with your left hand should be avoided. Some people think if you hold your mushaf with your left hand, or if you handle it or take it with your left hand, then this is wrong or a mistake, if not a sin. But that is another thing that is not really based on anything. It is not prohibited to hold the mushaf with your left hand if that is more convenient to you according to the situation. It is certainly true that the Prophet, peace be upon him, preferred to use his right hand, so this also applies when holding or taking the mushaf. There is certainly no mandation or prohibition for this case. So hold it in whichever hand you want, as long as you're holding it and you're reading from it. So these are the 10 most famous misconceptions that I have come across. If you think I missed something worth mentioning, let me know in the comments below, and I'll compile them in a future lesson, inshallah. And finally, don't forget to check the sources and fatwas that I used to prepare this lesson if you want to see more proof or you're looking for more detailed information. Thanks for watching. If you want to start learning the tajweed, then start with this playlist. And also, don't forget to check my latest book about tajweed and download the companion app. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.